room, you can't move, you can't speak. It's a horrible, horrible feeling.
You know, you're looking out into the darkness and then you see a figure, but it's darker than the darkness.
I just get this like really creepy feeling, and I see this this like shadowy demon looking figure in the front seat of the car.
She used to come into my room at night and stand right by my bed, and I just was petrified.
I remember I saw something fly by my bedroom window. We heard the bathroom door shut, so then we looked out my bedroom window down the hallway and the bathroom door was wide open.
So we came around the bend and we saw Eyeshine. This thing stood up. I mean, it stood up. And it had high pointed ears, it had a snout, had a long arm, and it grabbed the deer.
Okay, we are live. Welcome. I'd like to welcome our next guest now to Let's Get Freaky. Super excited. We have got Wib, aka Sofa King on X. How are you, sir?
I am doing well. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks, man. I'm excited to talk to you tonight. We was recently on a show together, Night Cult, where we talked UFOs, high strangeness, and we had a great time, man. And you shared your story, and I was like, wow, I need to get you on Let's Get Freaky. And you very kindly are here. So thank you very much, man.
Absolutely.
So you're based in Texas right now.
Yes, sir. So, South Texas, right, just north of the Mexican border.
Okay, cool, man, cool. And you're an ex-military guy, served in the military, which is really cool. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I was a United States cryptologist. I did all sorts of weird stuff. I copied Morse code, which this was back in the 80s. I copied Morse code, and back then we had this thing called the USS Pueblo rule, because During the Korean War, the USS Pueblo got captured, and it was a non-combatant ship, but it was full of people like me, who all had top secret clearances, and if you look it up, it's a big thing. The USS Pueblo, they're the ones that said, "This means peace." And they took a Christmas photo, and all the people they flipped them off and said, "Oh, that means peace." And so they sent it back to the to America, and everybody laughed. But after that happened for many years, anybody that was in an advanced combat role was not allowed to have a top secret clearance. However, people in advanced combat roles, such as the SEALs, needed that kind of information in order to do their job. So what they did to kind of bypass it was they would temporarily assign duty people like me to their squad in order to and travel with them. So the SEALs didn't have top secret clearances, but they had access through people like me to that information. And so I get to do some really cool stuff.
I only did
three outings, shall we say, three missions with the SEALs. I did a couple of outings with the Rapid Deployment Battalion of the Marines. I was 18. I was 17, 18 years old. That was all really cool.
I bet, man.
Today, I'd be like, no.
Wow. So you had some information, some top secret information, man.
For the most, yeah. I mean, I had top secret SCI. I was told that I had higher clearance than the president. He could know what I knew, but he couldn't know where I got the information from.
Wow, man.
That's how it was explained to me.
Wow.
I mean there's code words that I had that I can't even tell you what the code words are, because I don't even know if the code words are still, you know, top secret or not.
Yeah. That's incredible, man. So you had information, you had more information than the president. That's wild.
From what I'm told, he had to know my information, but he couldn't know where I was getting it from. So,
wow, man. Do you think that's still the case today?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There are places, because presidents come and go.
Mm-hmm.
Every 4 years, there's the potential for a new person in office. So you can't put your sources at risk. So I see the benefit of, yes, you absolutely tell the president everything you know, but if the president wants to know where you got that information from, sorry, I can't tell you. That's above your pay grade.
That's amazing, man. That's wild. I mean, I think, like, as someone like me that sort of knows a little bit about this stuff, but nowhere near as much as you or most people, like, I would think, I would guess that there's people that know a lot more than the president that are really in control, that are, you know, really making the decisions. But that's wild, man. That's wild. So how was you told that you can't disclose any of this sort of stuff? What was the, did you have to sign something, or what was the, I mean.
Yeah, we used to laugh about it because we had to sign that it was a non-disclosure agreement, and we had to sign that everything that we did, we would keep it secret until 75 years after we died.
Oh, wow.
We could, and they went through and they articulated just about every foreseeable way you could communicate to another individual, anything. They listed it all out. You're not allowed to do this until 75 years after your death.
Yeah, you're definitely not gonna. That's wild, man. So, yeah. What was the sort of consequences at the time if you did talk out?
Well, I mean, no. But again, you're talking about the '80s, so nobody even dreamed of doing that. Yes, we would joke around and ask our chief petty officer, what's the blue book value on top secret secrets? You know, stuff like that. But you never seriously considered disclosing that kind of information out. I'm sure there's people that screwed up and, you know, they slipped up and said, oh, I'm sorry, my ship is going to be in Marseille next week, so I can't be there. Which, okay, that's a huge disclosure that would be punishable. I mean, under the, you know, whatever law. I mean, they could technically be put to death for doing that.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't knowingly, willingly, you know, if they had half a second to think about, no, I can't tell you where my ship is going to be next week, you know?
Yeah.
Because it was the 80s. People loved their country. People really stood. And then, you know, now in the days of Snowden and what the hell was, I forget her name, the chick there, all these other whistleblowers that are coming forward. Everybody wants to be a whistleblower and make headlines. And hey, I've got secrets, you know. it's like, oh my God, and nobody wants, you know, on top of. The government has totally screwed us and is not trustworthy and is really, you know, it is questionable whether or not they're worthy of keeping those secrets or not.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that. And so you have all these people coming out of the woodwork. And so now, back then, the fine, I mean, even today, depending on who's coming after you, you've got the poor dude on the submarine that took a picture of a door that happened to have some signs on it of top secret or whatever. It was a door. It was a submarine hatch. And he's in there for years and years and years.
So what was because that story, sorry?
Some dude on a nuclear submarine.
Yeah.
He took a picture that included like a submarine hatch.
Okay, yeah.
And because you could make out the words on the sign, and it didn't say what was behind the hatch, it just said restricted area and all this stuff. He's in jail for like 20 years.
Oh, wow. Well, he shared a picture on like social media or something like that, was it?
I think he sent it to his grandparents or something stupid like that.
Oh, man, he didn't even put it out on social media.
Yeah, no.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy, man. Wow. So since you started talking and putting things out, have you had any pushback from or any warnings or anything like that?
No, I mean, most of the stuff that I talk about, it's already on Wikipedia. Like most of what I'm talking about, like
yeah.
what we are planning on talking about today, it's most of it's already on Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
You can look it up on Wikipedia. I mean, you want to talk about Pearl Harbor? The real story behind Pearl Harbor?
About to get into that.
On day one of my cryptology school.
Yeah.
That's an entire new, you know, that's an entire another podcast.
Wow. Well, maybe we can get into that at some point. That'd be cool. I'm very interested there as well, man. So if we can get into the encounter that you talked about on the night court the other day, that was super interesting, man. If you could get into that in as much detail as possible, because that will blow people's minds.
All right. So you're going to help me out. You got to help me out with getting into details, you know, filling in, helping me find the spaces that I'm leaving out, because you have to remember, it's 2024. This happened when in 1989, and so
I was 2 years old.
Yeah, I was at the time. I was 89. I was 18, and so I have gone back to Wikipedia to kind of refresh my memory, but I didn't want to memorize the Wikipedia page because then it would screw up my memory. I didn't want it to. So there is a small town just outside of the Ukraine, the current Ukraine-Russia border. Let me back up a little bit and give you some backstory. While I was not providing direct support to the Marine Rapid Deployment Battalion, for the most part, sometimes I would provide support to the SEALs. My primary mission, my primary goal, I was stationed at San Vito de Normani. It was this little itty bitty speck on the map in Italy, down by, if you look at Italy, it's a boot. At the top of the heel of the boot, there's a bump. If you go in about 15 miles, that's San Vito de Normani. They had a Woolen Weber antenna. A Woolen Weber antenna is this huge, huge antenna. We used to call it the elephant cage. It almost looked like a chain link fence that was 150 feet tall. And it was as big as a football field around. And it was omnidirectional. We could point it wherever we wanted. And from Italy, we used to be able to catch rogue radio signals, FM radio signals from the East Coast of America. It was pretty good. So as a cryptologist, I was a CTR. CTRs are called Diddy Chasers. We copied Morse code. There's CTRs, Morse code, CTIs, which are linguists, CTTs, which are technologists, which would do like Albemarle and computer-to-computer language, and CTMs, which all they did was fix our shit. And then CTAs, which are, they were administrative. They were basically secretaries with a clearance. That's all they were. So I was sitting in, it was late 1989, September, October time frame. It's still, even looking at Wikipedia, it's not clear. Some are saying October, some are saying September. It was late 1989. We started getting some strange chatter. I'm getting ahead of myself. In San Vito, our mission was to intercept communications in the Black Sea. So Crimea, Odessa, this is Soviet time. So Odessa or the Ukraine was still part of the Soviet Union. All that entire region, Syria was a huge ally of the Soviet Union. So we monitored them as well. We monitored the Mediterranean as well, but our main focus for the most part was the Black Sea Fleet. And we started getting some strange chatter. And little by little, we started getting trickles of it, and our CTI started coming in because they were curious. They're like, okay, as we're getting a little bit dribs and drabs, it was enough to make this, because usually we'd have to go find the CTIs, track them down and say, translate this for us. No, they were sitting over our shoulders while we're typing on these World War II era typewriters, teletypewriters, copy of Morse code, so that they can see as we're copying it exactly what we're typing, so that they, oh my God. And because we were getting dribs and drabs that there was an alien landing. There was an alien UFO landing in a small town just outside of the Ukraine border in Russia, just northeast of the Crimea. Again, it's on Wikipedia. I can't remember the name of the town. It begins with a V. I tried not to look at it to screw up my own memory. And so there is a whole hullabaloo in the military, because I'm only intercepting military communications. Everything goes nuts. They start calling down units from as far away as Siberia to come to respond to what's going on in this small town in eastern Russia. They're pulling naval units back up to the Black Sea from the Mediterranean, the Indian Ocean, the Atlantic, to respond to what's going on in this small town in eastern Russia. And a lot of it was not official communication. A lot of it was, because when you're intercepting, you intercept everything. You copy everything that operator sends out. So we got the scuttlebutt. They would send official messages, but then after they'd finish the messages, they go, "Yo, but what's really going on?" And here's what I've, and stuff like that. I mean, some of the stuff that some of the stories, like on May Day this one year, these two Russian operators, they got so drunk, they could not send Morse code. So they, over voice, they started communicating, but they knew it was bad because they were communicating like really secret information. So they whisper clear channel. But it was okay because they whispered.
Yeah. Wow, man.
So, and this happened over the course of like 7 days until, and we started getting descriptions of the aliens, and the aliens were these extremely large, 6 to 7 foot tall humanoids with these itty bitty infantile sized heads. They were very muscular, very massive muscular bodies, but tiny heads.
Wow.
And they weren't threatening or anything like that. They did, and this was over the course of multiple days. If you read Wikipedia, it seems like they were there for 5 minutes and left. From what I understand, they were there for multiple days, and they left only just before military showed up. Like they were, and there, like police officers saw them, or the police officers never saw the aliens themselves. But the police officers saw the ship both while it was on the ground and when it was flying. But when the military showed up is when they took off.
Wow. So were these entities, these aliens, were they still alive?
Oh yeah, they not only were there were a few of these aliens, and I forgive me, I can't remember if I'm remembering this directly or if I'm remembering this from Wikipedia, but they also had a robot. They had a robot with them.
Wow.
But I do remember, I remember precisely that they left just before the military showed up.
Wow. So people in the village were seeing these entities and the ship and obviously the local police. Wow, man. That's incredible.
And don't forget, the Russian military didn't stop moving. They continued converging on this space, at which you got to remember, we're in the middle of the Cold War. So of course the United States is kind of mirroring or reacting and responding to what the hell the Russian military is doing. And we're like, what the hell is going on? Yeah. What are you guys doing?
What was your thoughts at the time when you're hearing this for the first time and seeing this? What was the general?
Well, at first it was kind of, yeah, right. And then it was, back in the 80s, there was no term for it, but nowadays it would be the equivalent of, are we being punked?
Yeah.
Because it was very, they went to great lengths to create code words. They did the whole nine yards. I had to decrypt code words and have the CTI translate what the code word was.
Wow.
In order to figure out, okay, all right, here's the next step. This is if it was just the Russians punking us, I don't think they would go to that extent.
Yeah. And what would be the point of them doing that for days and getting all these different countries involved? Yeah. And
it was about a week. If I remember correctly, it was about 5 to 7 days that this whole military exercise went on.
Wow.
Okay,
the light's gone off. Yeah. That's cool, man. It's not, I didn't know if you knew. I didn't know if it was my computer or if it was just your.
No,
that's cool, man. They don't want us talking about this. They start playing with the technology. What an incredible experience, though, man. I mean, at the time when you were hearing this and going through this, what was your thoughts on UFOs and aliens and stuff like that? Did you have other knowledge about it, or?
I didn't really think much about it. I mean, I've always been one of those people that thought there's a bazillion stars in the sky, and around every one of those is 100 planets or whatever. And so there's got to be something out there.
Yeah.
I mean, But on the other hand, I've always been one of those naysayers of, okay, if you've got the technology to fly all that way here, why the fuck would you crash in Nevada?
Yeah, yeah.
but you know, landing in Russia,
where there's a war going on. And you know, at the time, was there a big conflict there at the time?
Well, it was the Cold War.
Yeah.
89 was the Cold War. Because that was another thing that I was involved with was Panama. We had Grenada going on. The whole thing in Lebanon was going on. Iraq, we were having some difficulties with Iraq. We had Ayatollah Khomeini had just died. That was one of my missions was to go and surveil the Ayatollah Khomeini's funeral and make contact with different terrorists that we had lost contact with. And when the pallbearers dropped the fucking body and the crowd tore his body to pieces trying to get little souvenirs, that, and I, here I am, I'm like 18 years freaking old, watching this corpse get pulled apart piece by piece.
Wow. I can imagine that was a wild thing to see.
Yeah, and while I am afraid for my life because we are told you get in there and you hunker down because if they see you, they will kill you.
Wow, man. Man, you're a lot cooler than me, that's for sure. I don't know if I could handle that, especially at 18. There's no way.
Again, I was 18. I thought that was uber cool.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And it is cool, man.
Yeah.
Wow. So going back to the crashed ship. So this ship, obviously it's crashed, but
No. The ship in Russia landed. It didn't.
Oh, crash. It wasn't a crash. Okay. Oh, sorry.
No, it wasn't a crash.
Okay.
I hope I didn't make it seem like a
crash. No, I'm sorry, man. I must have just misread that. Well, but that makes sense, because isn't it? Yeah. So obviously it's so they knew it landed, it stayed there. Do you have any idea what the purpose of the entities being there was?
I mean, I have no idea. I mean, based on what I received as a code copier, I have no idea. And what I read on Wikipedia about it in the last, 4 weeks since our show, no idea, because there was nothing there. I mean, they showed up, they made somebody, some kid disappear with a gun or whatever, but I have no idea. But who knows? I don't know if they were just there to test out the atmosphere, whatever, right? Who knows?
Yeah. He'd disappear. I mean, that's wild. If
Well,
man.
Unfortunately, according to Wikipedia, the only people that actually saw the aliens were like 12 children.
Okay.
They all told the same story, but it was only children, because the craft landed in a playground. However, the craft landed, the three beings came out with the robot. The children saw it. They did whatever aliens do. They made the kid disappear with the gun, and they went back into their, and this is according to Wikipedia, they got back into their spaceship, took off. So only children saw that. However, the members of the police force of the town saw the spacecraft.
Okay.
They can confirm the spacecraft. They didn't see the aliens or the robot or anything like that. And when as soon as the spacecraft took off, the kid that supposedly disappeared reappeared.
Okay. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah.
But what I got, because I distinctly remember some of that coming across, it wasn't specific to what was said, to, this happened. However, it did say that stories corroborate each other. So what I'm hearing, so I'm thinking that they took the kids, because I mean, 1980, one would hope in Russia in 1980 or the Soviet Union in 1980, they know to separate suspects or witnesses and get their undoctored story, their individual stories.
Yeah.
And then put them together and say, okay, this one goes with this one. This one goes with this one.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that the Soviet Union did something along those lines, but what we were getting across the lines was that eyewitness stories corroborate each other.
Yeah.
And this was like a couple days after the fact. And, while the Russian military is still converging on it, only knows how much gasoline that whole episode took.
So obviously there was a mad rush for the Russian military to get to this ship.
Oh, I'm sure the pucker factor was at like 10.
Yeah. Did you get any information after the ship left? Was you getting any more information on it?
Yeah, I mean, after the ship left, every once in a great while, like months later, one of the operators would reference it, or just make a joke about it or something, something stupid like that.
Yeah.
But other than that, not a peep. Nothing.
I mean, 12 kids, as you say, they probably questioned them all and really looked into what they were saying. And,
I mean, one would hope that by 1980, modern investigative process would have made its way to the Soviet Union.
Yeah. Do you know if there was any pictures of the crafts taken?
No. Oh, I mean, if there were, there would have been something on Wikipedia, I'm sure. If it was made public.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a strong possibility that there was pictures and that they were just not released. We all know how that works.
Yeah.
I mean, for you personally, this must have changed how you saw the world, experiencing something like that, did it?
You got to remember where I was. Not even a couple months earlier, I had just finished sinking half of Iran's naval fleet.
Yeah.
And remember what I was doing. I was traveling with SEALs. SEALs were sent to do some of that stuff in Operation Praying Mantis. So I can't really talk a lot about that, but put two and two together.
Yeah, so, I get it, man.
As well as, the whole Noriega situation in Panama. I was in there and, just weird. I had a very eventful military career in my short 4 years.
Yeah. So you saw, obviously you were seeing a lot of wild things, and it was constantly action for you. So,
well, it was constantly interesting.
Yeah.
I will not, I absolutely will not say that it was constantly action, considering, you know, the veterans now that have spent in the sandbox. I was never in the sandbox. The furthest I was ever in the sandbox was in a couple of hours in Iraq. And that was that nothing compared to what those heroes had went through.
Yeah.
I'm not claiming anything. All I'm saying is the time I spent was very interesting. Wasn't always dangerous. It was just interesting.
Yeah. So going back to the description of these entities, I've never heard that description before. So that's interesting. The small heads, big bodies. I mean, that's
there have been a couple of other instances where large muscular beings with small infantile heads have shown up. But again, it's very brief landings and, you know, nothing really comes of it. They don't have hooks for hands or anything like that. but it's there have been a couple of similar descriptions of that. But again, they land, they look around, and they take off.
So would you say at this time that you was in the military was aware that there was other beings out there, UFOs?
I really don't know what my military was aware of. Everything that, so my KSR, I told you, everything I typed on a KSR. It was a World War II era typewriter. Everything that I typed on it also got typed at the same time in Fort Meade, in the CIA base in Fort Meade.
Wow.
On a matching KSR. In a teletype. I have no idea who looked at what I was copying and what they believe. But all I can tell you is what I copied, what I had the eye brancher interpret, what he told me was the interpretation or what the translation. And, you know, who knows? I mean, the eye brancher could have been totally pulling my leg, but we had an active board that showed all the military units converging,
yeah,
on Eastern Russia, on this little itty bitty nothing town.
yeah. See, they wouldn't do that just for a prank or to play games, you know.
Exactly.
Wow. Incredible stuff, man. So you was in the military for 4 years overall. Is that correct?
Yes. Yep.
So after that, did you continue on this? Was there any more UFO experiences?
No. No. I've had some ghost experiences, but no UFO. Man.
We got to get into that if you don't mind. So just to wrap up with the military.
Yeah.
Do you think, I know it's speculation now, we're never going to fully know the answers, but do you think the military is aware now of UFOs? And obviously there's big in the mainstream now, there's talk of UFOs all the time, and there's, as you say, people coming out and whistleblowers. What do you think is going on now with it all?
I'm kind of the mindset that the military has all along been knowledgeable that there are off-world visitors. But just like what I was telling you in this visit, they have no freaking clue. Because they jump in, they do whatever they need to do, and then they get the hell out of there before, you know, anybody can have a state visit with them or anything, you know, before they can get the authorized personnel to go and talk to them. So
yeah,
I'm pretty sure the military has all along known that there's, you know, they've all along had knowledge that there were otherworldly people, but they're as clueless as everybody else what's going on.
Okay.
That's my point of view.
Yeah.
Only
interesting.
And this is only based on the Russian reaction, because back in the 80s, the Russians and the Americans were, you know, fairly similar with the reaction times, response times. And it took them days to get somebody down there.
Yeah, so, that's wild, yeah.
And how many times have you ever heard of aliens hanging out for a week?
No, man. I mean, this might be a stupid question, but do the Russians at that time, would they know that you're listening to all this?
No. I'm sure they had to assume.
Yeah.
They absolutely had to assume, because they were, besides that one May Day that I talked to you about, they did everything, they did everything encrypted. And we would have to go through and unencrypt it in order to figure out what they were saying. They didn't know at the time that we had all their keystrings, so that we could go through and decrypt it. But they would go through the whole process of encrypting it and then sending it out, and we would intercept it and decrypt it and send it back to Washington.
Yeah. Do you think this is another difficult question that you might not know, but it's, you know, in the UFO world, in the paranormal world, there's a lot of speculation. And I've talked to people before that say we've had crashed UFOs that have been intercepted and taken by the US military and militaries around the world. Do you think we've got any crashed ships and alien bodies that
that's really hard to say. And in my humble personal opinion, it's hard to say, because we have gone like from the 1950s to today, we have come so far in technology, even stupid technology like Velcro. Who the hell came up with Velcro? Nobody's raising their hand and saying, that was me. Nobody is doing that.
Yeah.
Yes, I understand there is a company up in New Hampshire that is supposedly the originator of Velcro, but there's no one person saying, I did that. That was me.
Yeah.
I discovered Velcro. Velcro is probably one of the best inventions that has come out of like the last 50 years.
Yeah. It's everywhere.
No one person is writing a tell all book or anything like that. Nobody's claiming it.
It's true, and
that makes me wonder, where did we get that from? Sure, a company came out with the patent, but where did we get that technology from?
Yeah.
Because there's got to be one guy who that was their brainchild.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Where it just clicked.
Yeah.
And we're not hearing that. And Velcro is such an awesome invention.
Yeah.
Somebody would be taking credit for it. Not money, but saying, I did that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the general perception with a lot of these things like drones and things like that, is that we've got the technology possibly from somewhere else that we found and adapted ourselves.
Drones have been in sci-fi books for years. Isaac Asimov, those have been in since like the 1940s. There's certain things that, I mean, I'm sorry, I keep pointing at Velcro because
that's cool, man. Yeah. I'm going to Google who created Velcro. I mean, I want to know now.
Well, it is, the credit is given to an entire company in New Hampshire. I know because I'm from New Hampshire, so I know this. But son of a bitch, if you worked for that company and you came up with Velcro, I would be walking away from that company going, yeah.
Yeah, that's me, yeah, man. I want a statue. I want a statue outside that. I know what you're saying, man.
I don't want money. I just want my name.
100%, man. Yeah. We need to look into that. So going back, obviously, to the, I've got a question that I missed before. You said there was a robot there as well. That with these entities.
That is totally a Wikipedia thing.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I don't have a direct recollection of that. That is something that I picked up when I refreshed my memory by reading the Wikipedia page.
Okay. Did they give a description of what that robot looked like? Or
No, they didn't.
Okay.
They just said there were three aliens with a robot, and I don't believe they gave it just. Well, there was none included in the Wikipedia page. They could have to the police.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And one would have to assume that the police, again, assuming the police in 1980 in Soviet Union, were up on their police practices, would say, well, what did that robot look like? But who knows?
Yeah.
And it wasn't like they were off in like Siberia, somewhere in the, you know, Ozarks or somewhere. Eastern Russia is basically almost Europe. So it shouldn't have been the, you know, the like backwoods of Georgia or something like that.
Yeah. It's wild, man. Well, you look at robots now. I know we've got robots and we've had robots for a long time, but robots are definitely something going forward that are going to be more involved in our world. That's for sure. I would have thought, which is quite scary, but
absolutely.
So when you left the military, was you told at the time of leaving that you can't talk about this stuff?
What I was told is when you hear things hitting the news, you can start talking about them.
Interesting.
They said, you know, if you have a question, whether or not something is classified, is classified. But if you start seeing it in, you know, hitting the news, then it's okay. And so absolutely. When I saw it was on Wikipedia, I was like, oh shit, yeah, I can.
Let's
talk
go.
About this.
Yeah. Wow.
But same thing with Pearl Harbor. You know, like, I've seen a lot of folks that have my same story about Pearl Harbor, and you know, the whole Wind Talkers and all that stuff. It's all there. It's just you have to put, you know, the observer or the audience has to put the pieces together of yeah, we knew.
yeah. That's so interesting, man. Super, super interesting stuff. Thank you for sharing that, man. I'm hoping that Wikipedia brings out more stories that you're not allowed to share yet, and then we can get them stories.
it is covered by, there were, like, I didn't just look at Wikipedia. I kept mentioning Wikipedia, but there were like 6 or 7 different news articles in Russian newspapers that I had to translate in order to, but most of them were just reprints off the others.
Yeah.
And so I think it boiled down to like 2. It started as 6, but it was actually just 2 original articles in Russian newspapers. And then there was the Wikipedia article. But the Wikipedia article basically covered everything that needed to be covered. They did say that, oh, when the spacecraft took off, there was a piece of rock that had never been found on Earth before. Well, as it turned out, it was a common rock found on Earth, just not in that actual location.
Okay, yeah, just still quite strange.
I forget what type of rock it was, but it was unusual in that specific location, like in that geographic area.
Yeah.
But it was a common element. It wasn't like, but this is something that I do remember. In my radio transmissions, they said that when the ship took off, they found a never before found element on Earth.
Okay.
And we never heard anything more. And as it turns out, according to Wikipedia, it was a common Earth ore. It wasn't common to that area
at the time. Yeah. And they wasn't aware of what it was at that time.
Right.
Yeah. Did they, you might have said, but how big was the ship? You might have already said that.
This is not any of my memory. This is totally from Wikipedia. I think they said, and you can tell it's not my memory because I'm doing metrics. It was 3 meters or three. I want to say 3 meters.
Okay.
They didn't say in the message, in the radio broadcast.
Yeah.
It says it on Wikipedia.
did it say if it was a dish shape, or did it say shape?
I believe so. They said it was circular, like oval. It was disc, but circular. So I would think an oval shape.
Yeah.
It kind of split the difference.
Yeah. Interesting stuff, man. So interesting. Can we get into your ghost experiences?
Sure.
Because I love a ghost story, man.
it's only one, and it's very short. It's extremely short. So I was a kid. All right. So I was a kid. I was living down in Pennsylvania. My step-grandmother, who I wasn't really that close to, lived up in Massachusetts. And I was going to the front door of my house to go out to go to school. And I stopped. And, you know, at the door, you could go down the hall to, on the front, on the first floor, or you could go up the stairs up to the second floor. At the top, I stopped, turned around, looked up, and My step grandma was at the top of the steps. Well, she wasn't there. She was up in Massachusetts. And I was like, Grandma, what are you doing? And she started coming down the stairs, and on like the second or third step, she stumbled and fell. And as she was falling down the stairs, she got more translucent. And by the time she got to the bottom of the stairs, she was gone.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, that's weird. I'm off to school. I'm going to be late for school. And as it turned out, when I got back home from school, she had fallen down the stairs up in Massachusetts, and she had died.
Oh, man.
She had, like, broken her back or her hip. I was a little kid. I can't remember. But she had broken something and died. And that was...
Wow. Man.
And I told people what I saw, and they're like, you're just trying to get attention. And I was like, no, I seriously saw that this morning before I went to school.
Wow. And was she a solid form? And as she was going down the stairs,
at the top of the stairs, she was a solid form, like she was there. And then as she stumbled down, she got less and less, you know, like more and more translucent. But by the time she got to the bottom, she was gone.
Wow, man, what do you think you were seeing? A vision of what was happening, or do you think you were seeing the spirit of your grandmother?
I wasn't that close to the woman. She wasn't my grandma. She was my step-grandma. She didn't really like me. I don't know why I saw her. my half-sister, that was her grandma. That was her actual grandma. And they were hip to hip. They loved each other. Didn't show up for her. I don't know why. I don't know why she showed up.
Wow. Can you remember how you felt at the time? Was you scared? Was you thinking? I mean, it must have been so confusing to see that.
Well, it was confusing because I was like, Grandma, what are you doing here? And as she fell down, I was like, oh, shit. And then when she disappeared, I'm like, okay, what the hell is going on with me?
Wow, man. And then obviously you got the call that's what happened that day.
Well, when I got back home from school, that's when my mom and my stepfather were like, we have something to tell you. I'm like, it's about grandma, isn't it?
Wow. Man, that's wild. Wow. Wow, man. have you got any other paranormal experiences to share?
No. I mean, nothing first person. There's stuff that I know of, but nothing first person.
What's your thoughts on the paranormal? What do you think is going on there? I know that's a difficult question, but I like to know people's opinion.
Well, all right. So this is going to cause some a bit of a stir, because I'm not a Christian, I'm not Catholic, I'm not Muslim. I am my own thing. I believe. Now, okay, let me back up. My grandfather, he was a Catholic. In Pittsburgh in 1928, he was excommunicated. He got our entire family excommunicated from the Catholic Church, from the Philadelphia Archdiocese. They threw the cane down the aisle three times and everything. He was done because he was a He was a 16-year-old altar boy, 1928, walked in on the priest making a young altar boy do some rather nasty things. So my 16-year-old grandfather beat him until he went into the hospital. And back in 1928, it was the priest's word against my 16-year-old grandfather. And, you know, priests are pillars of the community and everything. So my grandfather, his family and all his progeny were excommunicated from the Catholic Church. And in Pittsburgh, that's a death sentence. My great grandfather had a pharmacy. He owned a pharmacy with fountain sodas and all that stuff. Gone. He had to sell it because nobody would go in. Nobody would talk to them. Nobody, you know, if they were dying, you know, if they were on fire, nobody would piss on them to put them out. It was that bad.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you're in a Catholic community and you get excommunicated. So our entire family moved up to Western Massachusetts. And in Western Massachusetts, okay, we were with family again, and we could be talked to by people because they didn't know we were excommunicated. But that whole excommunication thing kind of left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. So we were not Christian. We were definitely not coming Christian. And my grandfather, who was 16, and you know, he needed to get jobs and stuff, he started getting jobs with the Mohawks and hanging out with them and learning their lifestyle and everything. And he learned about the Great Spirit and this and that. And he started putting things together and started teaching my mom. And then when I was born, eventually, he would teach me and my mom would teach me. And then I started reading tons of stuff. And I started reading about Einstein with the conservation of energy, where energy cannot be destroyed or created. And what is a spirit? It's energy. And so my grandfather's belief, which follows on with what he learned from the Mohawks, was that there's a great spirit that surrounds us. It's in everything. And you're, you know, so I guess the easiest way, you know how crazy people think that they're Napoleon? It's possible that they are. Because in our belief, when you die, your spirit goes into this pool. Well, what if when you're born, the pool that scoops up some spirit to put into your infant body scoops up a little too much Napoleon? So that's kind of, and it follows with the whole, you know, all right, this crazy person thinks he's Napoleon. This one thinks they're Joan of Arc. It's always the famous people. Yeah. Nobody's ever the, you know, of course. But that's also, you know, the famous people are the ones with the most, the most personality or you know, whatever.
Presence. So yeah.
The charisma or whatever. So, of course, they're the ones that need to be adhered to or attention drawn to.
Yeah.
So, anyway, being that as it may, I'm kind of thinking when you ask me what I think of these different things is, it's possible. It's possible that the spirit that left the body didn't actually get to join the great spirit, it following my belief that for some reason it was left apart. It didn't know how to join, or, you know, something went wrong. I don't know. And they're stuck here until they can figure it out. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's just right now, it's just me trying to figure that out. You Christians have all these, you know, generations of people figuring out, oh, well, they've got to fix a right, or they've got to right a wrong, or, you know, whatever, in order to get accepted into wherever. In my belief, it's just me so far that I know. So
it's interesting, man. It's interesting. Because you would think with entities that they are lost spirits, they possibly don't know where they are, and I don't know. It's an interesting man. Yeah, very possible. Man, I've loved talking to you tonight, brother. It's been super, super interesting. Thank you so much.
You're gonna be dead tired. Until noon. What the hell,
man? I live on American time, man. This is very normal for me. So the time right now in the UK is just coming up to 3 a.m. But I am up this time every night. I basically live on Eastern time in America. That's my so my body clock is a bit messed up, but I enjoy it, man. And I've loved talking to you tonight, brother. I really do appreciate you sharing your, you know, secret stuff. You know, it's super interesting for me to hear your story, man. Wib, can you tell the listeners where they can find you?
You can find me at Jarmaug, JARMAUG, on X. You will find me as so fucking MAGA.
Well, man, I would love to talk to you again and hear more of the stuff that you're not allowed to talk about yet. Maybe in the future we can talk about it. That would be cool. I really appreciate sharing your thoughts and opinions and your experiences. I really do appreciate it, man. And hopefully the first of many conversations.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you for very much.
Opportunity to be on your show.
Thank you very much, man. I appreciate it. And you have a good night. And guys, if you enjoyed the show, share it where you can. That's a great way to support Let's Get Freaky. And we'll be back very soon for more freaky conversations. In the meantime, stay safe and keep it freaky. Bye for now.
Something's in your room. You can't move, you can't speak. It's a horrible, horrible feeling.
You know, you're looking out into the darkness and then you see a figure, but it's darker than the darkness.
I just get this like really creepy feeling, and I see this this like shadowy demon looking figure in the front seat.
She used to come into my room at night and stand right by my bed, and I just was petrified.
I remember I saw something fly by my bedroom window. We heard the bathroom door shut, so then we looked out my bedroom window down the hallway, and the bathroom door was wide open.
So we came around the bend, and we saw Eyeshine. This thing stood up. I mean, it stood up. And it had high pointed ears, it had a snout, had a long arm, and it grabbed the deer.